Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
I have a bag here, and as soon as I saw this in the store, I knew I had to have it. And it's funny because it is so true. It says, pretending to be a normal person day after day is exhausting. Now, it does take a lot of energy to constantly be trying to be what we think other people want us to be, or trying to figure out what is sort of normal. And if we try to be a normal person, then we have to figure out, well, what really is normal? Now, John Ortberg wrote a book entitled, Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them. And it's really a book about Christian community. And he talks about the movie, As Good As It Gets, where Helen Hunt says to her mother, I just want a normal boyfriend. And her mother says, everybody wants that, dear. There is no such thing. John Ortberg refers to the dysfunctional family relationships in the book of Genesis. And he says the writer of Scripture was trying to establish a deep theological truth. And that is, everybody's a little weird. So today, I'm going to free you from having to try to be normal. There isn't any one normal. So God gave each of you different personalities and different skills. And if we just follow God's teachings, we can be our own God-given normal.
Let us pray. Lord God, pour out your spirit upon us to bring good news to the oppressed, and let your word be fulfilled among us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We have three scripture readings today. They're all from the Old Testament. The first is from Psalm 106, which is on page 704 in your pew Bible. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negeb. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The next reading is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Ding-a-ling. On pages 756 and 57 in your pew Bible as well. And I have to say, I was first introduced to this passage when I was 15 at the funeral of a family member, and I've loved it ever since. It's very appropriate. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I've seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. And the final reading is from Proverbs chapter 15, verses 13 through 15, page 734 in the Old Testament. A glad heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is broken. The mind of one who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. All the days of the poor are hard, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pretty stressful times these days. We've all experienced the stress of COVID and the continuing threat that it is. And now we have monkeypox to worry about. There are earthquakes, fires, floods, climate change. We still have anxiety about Ukraine, and the war is still going on over there, and mass shootings that are really tragic. So how do we deal with this stress and not let anxiety and gloom and doom take over our lives? Well, one way is to develop our sixth sense, and that is our sense of humor. Early on, before the vaccines were produced, when COVID was spreading rapidly, Ray and I were very careful to follow the rules. We wore our mask, we didn't go out in crowds. He did most of the errands and I kind of stayed home. And at that time, hand sanitizer was sold out everywhere. And so Ray decided to make his own, or our own, hand sanitizer. So he got all the bottles and equipment and made his hand sanitizer. Our daughter lives out in Indiana, and we usually talk to her every weekend, but she called one weeknight just to check up on us. And at the time she called, we happened to be laughing about something. And so she detected that as we visited with her. And she said, "You guys, this is serious. I don't think you guys are taking this COVID very seriously." So after we hung up, we decided we need to prove to her that yes, we were taking this seriously. So we decided we would take a picture of Ray with all the bottles he used to make our hand sanitizer. But then he decided for the picture, he would put his cap on backwards. And so I decided that he would take one out of my bag, and I have a collection of rubber animal noses. So he picked one out, which was a pig nose. So he put that on. And we took the picture and sent it to our daughter. And the text was, "Just because we find things to laugh about doesn't mean we aren't taking this seriously. See, we even made our own hand sanitizer." And her text response back was, "Oink." Humor is rarely acknowledged as an important coping tool for times of stress and in everyday life. We read in Proverbs 17:22, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a downcast spirit dries up the bones." Alan Klein is a writer and lecturer on health and humor. He observed while working with terminally ill and bereaved that humor often played a very big part in helping people take their minds off their distress and easing their emotional pain. Gail Sheehy, who is author of Pathfinders, said that people with a high sense of well-being got through rough passages by seeing the humor in difficult situations. Dr. George Vallant, a psychology professor at Harvard, the author of a book called Adaption to Life, said humor was one of the five mature coping mechanisms used by professional people in times of stress. Norman Cousins, who is author of Anatomy of an Illness, said laughing helped him survive an illness. 10 minutes of genuine belly laughter had an anesthetic effect, and he could get 2 hours of pain-free sleep after he was laughing. So he chose to watch movies and films like Candid Camera, The Three Stooges, Marx Brothers films, and other visual things that would make him laugh. Allison Crane tells this story about, she is the executive director of the American Association for Therapeutic Humor. This story was originally told to her by a middle-aged pastor. He had been in a very serious accident and was in the hospital a very long time recuperating. Well, of course, he became very familiar with his nurses, and as it goes in the hospital, any attempts at modesty were totally discarded. And so he had had many shots, and he was ready for another shot of his pain medication. So he rang for the nurse and told her what he needed, and he knew about how long it would take for the nurse to draw up the medication and come to his room. So he rolled over in bed facing the wall and had his backside pretty much exposed to the door. And then he heard the door and he pointed to a spot and said, "I think this spot here will work for today." And then there was silence. So he rolled back over to see who had actually come in, and it was a young female single member of his church. Well, he apologized, and they had some awkward conversation, and then she left. And then he started thinking about that, and he started laughing. And the tears were rolling down his cheeks. The nurse came in to give him his shot, but he couldn't even tell her what had happened. So she came back later, and every time he tried to tell her, he would start laughing. Well, as it turned out, it was 3 hours later before he needed his pain shot. Dr. William Fry has studied and reported many of the physical effects of laughter. It affects most, if not all, the major organs in a positive way. Hearty laughing is much like physical exercise. 20 seconds of hearty laughing gives the heart the same workout as 3 minutes of hard rowing. Laughing is accessible, convenient, and cost-free. Humor can help us get a better perspective on our own mistakes. It has a powerful potential to heal our wounds and help us deal with difficulties by often changing our perspective on our problems or mistakes. We can often find humor in our own mistakes. We can laugh at ourselves, not putting ourselves down, but laughing at the situation, never putting others down or embarrassing others, but just laughing with others and laughing at our own mistakes. When we can find humor in our upsets, they no longer seem as important as they once did. Sometimes we can use humor to deflect awkward situations. A businesswoman wanted to impress some of her clients, so she invited them to dinner and had prepared a very elaborate meal for them. She hired someone to come in and help her serve so she could spend more time with her clients. So as the helper was walking from the kitchen into the dining room with a crown roast on a platter, the kitchen door hit her in the back and the roast and the platter went flying. So of course they both were froze on what should they do. And so the hostess told the server, "Dear, pick up the roast, take it back to the kitchen, and get the other one." A clerk at a grocery store had just finished filling a bag for a customer, and when he lifted it into her cart, it split and all the groceries spilled out. And he said, "Boy, they sure don't make bags like they used to. This wasn't supposed to happen until you got home in your driveway." Sir Winston Churchill and Lady Astor were having a discussion on the role of women in Parliament. Lady Astor was greatly for it, and Winston Churchill was greatly against it. And finally, in exasperation, Lady Astor said, "If you were my husband, I would put arsenic in your coffee." And he said, "Madam, if I were your husband, I would drink it." During the Cuban Missile Crisis, Soviet and U.S. negotiators were at a standstill. And so someone suggested that someone tell a joke to try to break the mood. And so one Russian said that he would tell a riddle. And he said, "What is the difference between capitalism and communism?" The answer is, in capitalism, man exploits man. In communism, it's the other way around. We tend to hold pastors to a higher standard of behavior, and so sometimes pastors have to get imaginative in how they can express themselves and handle their stress. So a certain minister, when he had a painful or frustrating experience, would say, "Grand coulee." Someone asked, "What do you mean when you say grand coulee?" And he said, "Well, isn't that the world's biggest dam?" Humor can help us handle everyday frustrations. And one thing we all have in common and is powerless to change is getting older. So we might as well laugh about it. I belong to a ladies group who have been together for many, many years, so we're all getting up there now. So for our last meeting when I was hostess, I decided we would celebrate everybody's birthday. So I went and bought a humorous birthday card for each one, and then we all read them aloud and laughed a lot during our get-together. The year that I turned 75, a couple weeks before my birthday, our daughter called and we chatted, and then she said, "Mom, how old are you going to be on your birthday?" I said, 57. And there was this long pause, and then she said, "That's not right. You aren't going to be 57. And I said, maybe I got the numbers turned around. So this year, since it was not an advantage to flip the numbers, I decided that I would be 49 the 30th time. So now you can sit there and try to add that up. Sometimes we use humor just for fun. Some years ago, we owned a car wash in Bondurant. And that was pretty much Ray's project because I knew minimal about running a car wash. But every now and then when he had to be gone, I would go over and check things out, and there were a few things that I could do. So one day when I was there, I was standing outside and a man, kind of middle-aged man, drove up, rolled down his window, and so he started chatting and he was very friendly. And he said that he came there often and visited with Ray a lot. And then he said, "I suppose you're the boss's wife." And I said, "Well, no, actually, he's the boss's husband." And then he had to process that for a few seconds, and then he started to smile and nod. So we chuckled together about that. So how do you get a sense of humor? Kathy Gus-White, who was the author of the cartoon Kathy, that used to be in the papers, and I miss it dearly, but she talks about an incident. Her father had a great sense of humor, and when she was a girl, they were having company for dinner, and her mother was quite nervous that everything go really well. Well, in Kathy's nervousness, she bumped a glass of milk and spilled it. And so she was just sort of terrorized for how much trouble she was going to be in. And then her father picked up a pitcher of milk and just dumped some on the floor and said, "Oh heck, I just thought it looked like fun." So she attributes her sense of humor to her father. Barbara Johnson is a Christian writer and speaker, and she used to speak at the Women of Faith conferences that came to Des Moines, so some of you may have attended those. She has a marvelous sense of humor and can see humor in practically any situation. Now, she has not had an easy life. She was married with four sons. One son was killed in the military, and one son was killed by a drunk driver. She was estranged from another son for a while because of his homosexual lifestyle. Her husband had cancer and predeceased her, and then she had brain cancer after that. So I admire her greatly because when she is faced with all of these terrible things, her faith and her humor get her through, and she just writes another book. But she was tells in one of her books that one day she had been out running errands and her four boys were at home. And so when she came back and stepped in the house, she could hear them laughing hysterically. And so she walked into the kitchen and saw that they had a bowl of raspberry jello with bananas and were catapulting the jello on the back white kitchen wall. Now, I know how most mothers would react, but not her. She just said, "Hey kids, scoot over, where's my spoon?" And so they gave her a ladle and she joined the boys in catapulting jello on the wall and watching it ooze down to the floor. And they all laughed the whole time, even through cleaning up all the mess. And in later years, she said that was one of her fondest memories of a good time and fun she had had with her boys. Now, if you want to laugh, spend time and play with children. A grandmother had invited her 10-year-old granddaughter over for dinner and just to spend some time together. And the granddaughter kept asking Grandma, "How old are you, Grandma?" And Grandma said, "I never tell my age." And no matter how much the granddaughter begged, Grandma would not give in. So Grandma went ahead working on dinner, and pretty soon she realized that the granddaughter hadn't been around for a little bit, so she went to see what the granddaughter was doing. The granddaughter had gotten Grandma's purse and dumped it out on the bed. and she was looking at Grandma's driver's license. And she said, "Grandma, you're 78. Grandma said, "Yes, that's right. How did you know that?" And she said, "Well, I looked at the date, your birth date, and then I subtracted it from this year." Well, Grandma thought that was pretty creative of her to be able to do that. Well, then the granddaughter kept looking at the driver's license and got a kind of concerned look on her face. And she said, "Grandma, you got an F in sex." One of the things you can do to bring more humor to your life is to surround yourselves with humor at home. Signs, posters, pictures. And I brought a couple here that I have. This was a gift and is one of my favorites. And it says, "Let's put the fun back in dysfunctional." So, a good one to keep in mind. And this is my favorite artist's rendition of Jesus. And we see so many different kinds of pictures, but not so many of smiling or laughing Jesus. And I have a magnet, a small magnet of this picture that I keep on my refrigerator. But there are lots of books out there of humor and some about Jesus and humor. But put things around the house that remind you to look on the bright side and look for funny things. I also had a Mother's Day card from my daughter a few years ago, and I've saved it because it was such a favorite. I like to bake, so the card was perfect. On the outside it said, "Good moms let their children lick the beaters." And the inside it said, "Great moms turn the mixer off first." Now, another thing you can do is spend time with people who make you laugh. If you don't have friends that laugh, then you have two choices. You can find different friends, or you can be the one to bring laughter to your friends group. Now, a good place to start is to just smile. Walt Garrison, former Dallas Cowboys running back, was once asked if Coach Tom Landry ever smiled. And Garrison replied, "Well, I really don't know. I've only played for him for 9 years. Waitresses say it pays to smile because they get bigger tips. Patients report that they get better faster if the nurses smile. Smile, even faking it when you don't feel like it, can help lift up your spirits when you're down, raising your energy and helping you to connect with others. Now, some other ideas: buy humorous joke books, and then read the good parts to someone else. One time Ray and I were on our way somewhere and I had a new book and I was reading, and then I'd say, "Oh, Ray, listen to this one." And then I'd read him one. Put a sign on your mirror that's in your bathroom that says, "This person is not to be taken seriously." Now, I recommend if you value your marriage, you should ask your spouse before putting one on their side. A young boy came home from Sunday school and was asked by his grandmother what he had learned that day. And he was very eager to share it with her because they had memorized a Bible verse, and so he was very proud because he had worked very hard on it. And so the verse was John 3:16. So he stood very straight and tall with his arms down to his sides to tell his grandma. And so he said, "John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only forgotten son and whoever believes will have everlasting life. Now, my prayer for you is that you abide in the joy of the Lord always and have everlasting life. Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Okay, so are you kids all ready for school? No? Not through with summer yet? And what day does school start for you?
August 24th.
24th, is that?
Wednesday.
Wednesday. And you have everything in your backpack that you need for school?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, we have been told that we are to worship God with our hearts and our minds. And so going to school and learning is what God wants us to do, because there's so many things in God's world that are there for us to learn about. And I hope you had a great summer. So I will say a short little prayer so we can bless you and your backpacks as you go back to school, okay? God, bless these children as they go back to school. Open their minds to the learning that will be there for them. We thank you so much for these opportunities of learning, and please keep them safe. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.